to me over the weekend, like, how many Israelites do you think there will be in the world when Jesus Christ returns? Let me see. I have no clue. I don't know these things. That's a number only God knows. But I will tell you a secret concerning the Israelites and the 144,000, because people want to know what the percentage is. What percentage of the 144,000 is, what is that percentage to the total number of Israelites on the earth? I have a better question for you. What is the percentage of the total Israelites on earth to the mass of humanity? This is where this comes in, because I look at, the 144,000 are going to be faithful Israelites. Hi, everyone. This is Martin Sender, by the way. Yeah, I'm showing off my new jacket today. These are like snaps right here. And I look like a motorcycle thug. This is not leather. No. It's a cheapo material. It was a rather inexpensive jacket. But I think I look rather dangerous in this. I don't know. So I just thought I'd wear it here. It's getting cooler here because you're in the summer there in North America. We're entering our winter. However, our winter is comparable, let's say, to the summer in Winbur, Pennsylvania, because the last winter here, I compared it to Winbur, and it was like, oh, wow, their temperatures in the dead of summer are the same as our temperatures in the dead of winter. That's always fun. So where are these 144,000 coming from? That's the question that I will regale you with, and I will inform you concerning today. You may have heard my message on the remnant of Israel. It was in the Hebrews series. If you want to bring yourself up to speed on this, you can go to my website, martinzender.com. You can go to the new Zender Sheridan Show. Find my series on Hebrews. Just scroll down. A lot of shows on there. Within that series on Hebrews, I had, six, seven parts, maybe four parts, I don't know, on the remnant and the lost 10 tribes of Israel, which has to do with the remnant. And so, as many of you already know, I believe that the world is going to be shocked when it sees who the true people of God are. We know from Amos 9:9 that the house of Israel was shaken as grain in a sieve, and it was scattered among all the nations of the earth. So keep this in mind. Now, in order to do this, God did a very tricky thing. After the reign of Solomon, God split the kingdom, and we had the house of Israel going north in Samaria, and the house of Judah stayed in the south, the southern tribes. There were two tribes that made up the southern tribe, which was Levi and Judah, I do believe. Was Benjamin in there? I haven't studied this, I haven't looked into it, but there were two tribes. Yeah, it had to be Levi because the temple service was still being performed in Jerusalem. But the other 10 tribes were up north. I will get that for you tomorrow. Anyway, the important thing is that when the Babylonian captivity came, the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar only took the southern tribes. They only took the house of Judah into captivity. And they're the ones that returned to Jerusalem. And now also the house of Israel, I'm not sure the timetable, was also taken into captivity, the tribes that went to Samaria. It was almost like a competing system in Samaria. And like, it was like, come to our place. We have the best worship up here in the house of Israel. And Judah was saying, are you kidding? We got the temple here in Jerusalem. We're the awesomest. We're the best. But anyway, both the house of Judah and the house of Israel were taken into captivity. I believe northern captivity was earlier than the captivity of the house of Judah. And the house of Israel were then scattered. They never returned. That's the difference that I want you to keep in mind today. This is important to understand where these 144,000 are coming from. Because if we look at the state of Judaism today, it's obviously they're in a messy state mentally. They don't understand the truth, and it's because, read Romans 11. They don't understand the truth because God has given them a spirit of stupor down to this very day, Paul says. And I can say to you with confidence that it is also down to this very day. Israel does not understand her message, doesn't even recognize her Messiah. They're still looking for the Messiah. Memo, earth to Israel, he already came. They don't know that, so they're going to have to be adjusted. However, there is such a thing as, this is tricky, the completed Jew, or that is the Jew that accepts Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Messianic Jews, yes, thank you. They are, I don't see them being a huge number of people, but it could be that some of the 144,000 will be coming from Messianic Jews. Now, don't think for a second that these people have to have all their duckies lined up, all their doctrine in a row, or their doctrine lined up in their duckies in a row. One of those two things, neither of those two things has to obtain for those people, because it is the days of indignation that will adjust Israel. Israel is coming into this incomplete. They're coming into this dumb. And it could be also that God is going to take disbelieving, disobedient, hardened Israelites from scratch and start them on their way. But I don't believe he's going to do that, because I believe that in this current era, according to Paul, Romans 11, there is a remnant according to the choice of grace. Now, just because you see the word grace in Romans 11 doesn't mean that we're looking at the uncircumcision evangel here. We're not looking at the message given to Paul, which its chief characteristic was grace. This was a gracious choice of God that any were left. If you remember, Paul is writing in Romans 11, quoting Elijah, the poor guy, who thought that he was the only one left because everyone else, all his brethren according to the flesh, had given up on God. They've smashed the altars, they've turned to idols, and Elijah felt like the only guy. You feel like that too sometimes. I'm the only one left. Yeah, I know what you mean. But God told Elijah then, I have 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. It was 7,000, wasn't it? And not 5,000? Oh, yeah, it was, because my estimate was that there were 5,000 in the body of Christ, 5 being the number of grace. I'm just getting that out of thin air. Don't quote me on it. I have no scripture for it. But this was Elijah's problem. Paul says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 11, or have you not perceived in Elijah what the scripture is saying as he is pleading with God against Israel? He's pleading against Israel. Now, John, in the unveiling of Jesus Christ, is not pleading against Israel. He's just stunned. All right? He's not pleading for anything. He's sitting in the bleachers trying to eat popcorn, but his jaw is locked. He's like, he was eating popcorn when he was watching, maybe when he was seeing Jesus Christ as prophet walking through the lampstands, that is, informing the ecclesias, he's maybe chewing. But then by the time we get to the beast, by the time we get to the 144,000, by the time we get to the seals being opened, John is like, so he's not pleading for or against Israel. Paul is pleading for Israel, for his brothers according to flesh. In Romans, only in Romans 9, 10, and 11 is he addressing Israel. So Elijah, what is the scripture saying as he's pleading with God against Israel? Lord, thy prophets they kill. This is Elijah to God. Lord, thy prophets they kill. Thine altars they dig down. I don't know why he spoke in 17th century English. I don't like that, of course. So I'm just going to take that out. Your prophets they kill, your altars they dig down, I was left alone, and they are seeking my soul. I feel like the only guy left, and they're out to kill me. And when I'm killed, there's not going to be any witness left on the earth that you are the God of Israel. And the whole point of this chapter is that the remnant of Israel is proof that God has not forsaken his nation. Otherwise, if there was no remnant, you could put forward the argument that God has totally, forever forgotten his people. And many people with their replacement theology, that the Christian church has replaced the promise God made to Israel, they think God has totally done. He's tossed them aside. He's jettisoned them. But Paul says, I don't know where they get this. How could you possibly arrive at that conclusion in verse 1 of chapter 11? I am saying then, does not God thrust away his people? May it not be coming to that. That means no. It's a fancy Paul way of saying no. I would just have said no. Paul says, may it not be coming to that. Maybe I should start saying that. I don't know. It's pretty epic. Well, when I need to make an epic negative statement, Martin, are you going to be moving back to a cold climate someday where there is snow blowing and people are being killed on the highways from ice storms? I will say, may it not be coming to that. And then you will know that my denial is of biblical proportions. That's what is needed sometimes. So I'm going to employ this. I recommend it for you as well. God does not thrust away his people. He has cast them, but not thrust them. There's a different wording here. Of course, I note this, that I bring this to you. You're not going to find these details here. He's cast them away temporarily, but not thrust them away. So he's not – it's just like a fishing line. Can you picture that? You put out I don't fish. You know, I feel sorry for the fish. I don't like to see a fish with a hook in his mouth. And so – but anyway, a picture of a fishing line, if you will, and it's sent out, and God has cast Israel aside like you cast a fishing line, but he has not thrust it aside. That's what you would do if you took your fishing pole and thrust it into the water. You can no longer catch a fish. You can't bring it back. No see little fishy. But if you simply cast a line, then you can reel it back in. Now, that is exactly what God's going to do. But he has not turned that reel one time since Israel was officially sent out of his presence. And there's arguments as to when that happened. You want me to tell you something really crazy? I shouldn't have said that. I don't think it's crazy. I think this is true. I think Israel was set aside. Now, this is controversial. When the veil in the temple was rent and the presence of God, the Shekinah glory, left the temple. Jesus said, your house has left you desolate, desolate. I think Israel was done then. It's true that as a witness against them, the kingdom was still heralded by the apostles in the book of Acts and by Paul to them privately. He didn't herald the kingdom. I take that back. He tried to convince his brothers that Jesus was the Christ. He was trying to convince everybody Jesus was the Christ, because suddenly God was sewing together all these great verses for Paul, and he suddenly, boom, man, the old covenant, the prophets came into alignment for him, and he saw how they were all talking about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So that was part of Paul's ministry. But nevertheless, I think Israel was done a long time ago. But anyway, it was the final time we hear of it is in Acts, the last chapter of Acts. So God's going to bring them back. And this is part of him bringing them back, the sealing of the 144,000. Where does he get them? You think he's going to go to Israel. Well, he's just going to go to Israel. Isn't that where all the Jews are? Is it? Is it where all the Jews are? There are posers there. They are the, what you call, Orthodox Jews, and they're praying at the Wailing Wall. But these, I don't believe he's going to take the 144,000 from these people. They're not a remnant at all. The remnant has to be those who are believing. And the majority of Jews do not believe in Jesus Christ. The Messianic Jews do. And I'm willing to say that God will take some of the 144,000 from that group. But I think that there's a wider group that we're not even considering. There's a wider group from which God can choose. God can call people for the 144,000. And I will bring you that proposition tomorrow.